WPKY Saturday Morning Quarterback Show is on the air on 1580, 103.3 WPKY and WPKYonline.com. Time to take a look back at last night's Caldwell game. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Caldwell County Tigers made the trip to Murray last night for the regular season finale, but ran into a tough Murray squad. 56-16 was the final score as Murray finished up a 10-0 regular season. Caldwell County is 6-4 heading into the playoffs next week. Good morning, everyone. We're at McDonald's in Princeton. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback. Todd Griffin and Camden McGregor here on controls this morning. Caldwell County coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us. And Coach McClung, we knew going down to Murray that was a tough challenge. And Murray's got a very good team, and they showed it last night.
Yeah, Murray, they're really good. You know, I knew they were going to be good going in. And, you know, we were down a lot. We had six starters out. We had three of our offensive linemen were out. We started a freshman. We started another guy who hadn't – we started two other guys who had their first starts. And, you know, we didn't have Cam. So, I knew we were going against long odds, and Murray is really good. You know, they're number two in RPI and 3A, and they're gonna try to make a run at a state championship. So, you know, I was pretty, all the circumstances concerned, I was happy with the kids' effort. You know, we moved the ball on them even in the first half when they were scoring points. We had some opportunities to score some points and do some good things, but you know, they're good. It's a tough place to play, and you know, I'm proud of the kids and the effort they gave, and we're gonna move on and get ready for Hancock County.
Yeah, that's a situation when you have a tough loss at Crittenden County like we did. You wonder how the kids are going to bounce back, especially you look at Murray. They were 9-0. It was no secret they're having a great season. So, but I thought the guys came out and played hard.
They did. They did a great job. You know, Philip Merritt is a kid that's a freshman, and he's out there going against a kid with Division I offers. You know, and I really feel like that he played hard and did fairly well against the kid. You know, I was really proud of him. He had to fight through some pain. You know, he tried to come out one time because he was limping a little bit, and I said, "You can't come out. You got to play." Yeah. And he went back in, and he stayed in. And you know, Xander Sample has been hurt this year, and he's been playing some center for us. And Noah Bailey was out with a knee, and you know, I'm proud of Noah too. I mean, Noah hurt his knee against Crittenden County, and you know, Ken Parker checked him out and said, you know, he really doesn't need to play, but if he can take it, he can probably still long snap for you. You need long snap for us, and he did that for us. And then Xander played well, filling in for him at center, and then Ethan Lane filled in at right guard. He's never had a start in varsity, and that was his first start. And you know, he had some bad plays, but he played hard, and you know, he's out there cramping up at the end of the game and just being scrappy. And you know, that's really what I want. You know, sometimes you're just overmatched and you're getting beat bad, and you just want to keep fighting. And, you know, I want to be a tough football team. I want to have tough kids, and that's what you do. And even when your back's against the wall, you come out, you fight, you try to score. You know, I really felt like the kids did a good job of that. You know, Dalen did some things on offense. He did some good things. We still got things to clean up. I thought Colson Maddox and Shane Favreau ran the ball well when they got some space. And you know, especially offensively, they're really good. They're really, really good. They have a really good quarterback. They're big up front, good skill kids, and you know, they've only punted five times all year.
Really?
So, yeah. So well, they're really good.
We tend to want to compare people to Mayfield because that's usually, you know, kind of the gold standard when we look at our schedule. And I don't think Murray is as good defensively as Mayfield was. I think Mayfield's quicker. I think if you're talking offenses, though, you probably give Murray the edge.
Yeah, I probably would. You know, Murray's really good on offense, but they're definitely not as good defensively. And in fact, you know, on the back end, they're fast. Their skill, their secondary's fast, but up front, they're really not athletic or fast. You know, and we were able to get outside on them multiple times, and I really felt like team speed that we were faster than them as a team. But they do have three or four really fast kids and really good skill kids, but you know, and they're good. But you know, as we showed last night, if people watch our games and if you have an athletic quarterback, that's going to be a problem for them because they up front they're not real fast and athletic, but. Yeah, you know, that wasn't enough to get it done because they're obviously still really good.
It was going to be an uphill battle, though, against that Murray team, even if we were at full strength. So when we're shorthanded, it really was tough. But even with that, we missed some scoring opportunities, I thought, in the first half that if we finish a couple of drives, not saying we're going to win the game, but it's a lot more competitive. I mean, instead of being 42-0 at halftime, it might have been 28-14.
And fumbling the kickoff hurt, too. You know, that gave them another possession, and that wasn't good. We got inside the 5-yard line early on and didn't score, and we had a trick play that was, I don't know what the referees were called on it, but I watched it this morning, and I couldn't find anything that could have been a penalty on it, and we scored on that and got that call back. So there was a lot of things that we did good that would have made the game closer. I don't know if it would have changed the outcome either, but it definitely would have made the game a little closer early. But, you know, that's the way it goes. We're going to get our kids back that were out this week, I think, outside of Cam. He's done for the year, but I think we're going to get our other kids back, and we're going to go try to win a playoff game.
Yeah, Jeff, when Murray comes on the field, they certainly look the part of a football team because they've got some huge kids up there.
Yeah, they've been big the last 3 years, so they certainly didn't lose any size for graduation. Maybe they will this year. I don't know. They got a couple young kids that are really big, but they're a very solid football team, and you got size and speed, and you can do some things.
Yeah, you could build a house with number 77 and 75.
Yeah, those are both big kids. 75's going to play college football somewhere. And, you know, I think 77's a real big kid. He's been around for 2 or 3 years. So, you know, one thing about those guys, it's not our first rodeo with them. We kind of knew who they were a little bit. And, you know, so our kids, you know, they went and they played hard. And that's what, you know, we're very proud of them. And, you know, just handling themselves in an adverse situation and continuing to play. And sometimes you just got to forget about the scoreboard and go play the next play. And for the most part, I think we did that.
They've got one of the best quarterbacks I thought we'd seen this year, though, in Wyatt Robbins. And he can throw it. He can run it. I mean, and he hides the ball well. It's tough to figure out who's got the football. I mean, offensively, they're pretty good.
Yeah, that kid is tough. I was very impressed with him on film and the stuff that they did with him. And, you know, they kind of run a little triple option thing where they throw it to the flat. He's always smart with the ball. Does a good job of reading and taking his keys. And then he throws a really good ball to those kids when they get you one-on-one. They've got some speed to get behind you, and he throws a good ball. They can get underneath it, and that's what they did.
They're kind of like Heath used to be. You know, they were black on black at home, and you get there and you hide the football really well, and you can't tell who's got the ball.
Yeah, it'll be illegal. They'll have to wear a different color jersey than a football.
Like Webster County used to do that over there with the dark maroon, and you're like, who's got the football?
Yeah, maybe we need to just get as dark blue as we can and try some of that stuff. We'll see.
Coach McClung, I thought Daylon Lander had a pretty good game last night. Probably ran the ball with more conviction than he's had to all season, and his passing numbers weren't great, but we dropped a few balls, or those would have looked better.
Yeah, you take away about a 60-yard touchdown that we dropped, and you take away the screen, the double reverse pass that he threw for a touchdown, about a 50 or 60-yard touchdown. So, you know, there's 120 yards right there. You know, but that's, you know, we've had issues with drops all year, and that's something that we got to get better at. And we just, as far as our passing game, it hasn't ever really clicked yet this year. And, you know, it's there, you know, and it'll be there against Hancock. They're going to give us chances to complete quick game and stuff like that. And, you know, we still got another chance to get something going. And, you know, Daylon threw an interception last night, and I think, you know, I was telling him, you know, just get rid of it. Get rid of it early. You know where they're going, and don't worry about it. And, you know, I know it can be frustrating at times with a quarterback, but, you know, he played through those things, and he tried to find other ways to make plays with his feet. So I'm proud of him for that. You know, he's tough. He's a tough kid, competitive kid. He takes hits, plays defense, makes tackles. So, you know, that's just part of the process, man. You go through, you play really good football teams, and you learn from it, and hopefully you can take the experiences from a really tough game and really having to fight and fight and fight through the whole game, and use that experience to make you a better football player for the next game.
And Daylon did a really good job, I thought, of extending plays and giving himself time to look downfield and find some people.
Yeah, he did. He did. What I would like, he had some people open early that he, you know, I wish he would have seen and got rid of the ball quicker. And, you know, that's what I was trying to emphasize to him. You know, he's got to develop more confidence in his receivers. You know, even when they're struggling, we got to continue to get the ball, get kids the ball when they're open. You know, and but I do think, you know, he studied this week. He studied film. He came up and talked to me and Coach Salins about film during the week. So, you know, he's working. He's working to try to get better, and that's all we can ask. You know, we put a lot on him. Kid takes on a heavy load, and you know, people like to criticize these kids, and they don't really understand what's going on behind the scenes. You know, some of these kids are really working their tail ends off, and it's not easy. You know, they got college football players on at Murray High, and you know, you're going out there in a big matchup, and a lot of times kids are trying to make plays, and I know from the stands it may look like, you know, that we're making, or he's making, or we're making the wrong decisions, but this isn't easy, you know. And if people think that it is easy, they're welcome to apply for jobs, and we'll give them whistles.
Well, I thought Cam Wilson was kind of the spiritual leader of your team, and I think all the kids knew that he was your guy. He was kind of the leader.
He is.
Well, when he went down, the next guy up in that role is kind of Daylon, just because he's the quarterback. Yeah. I mean, that kind of comes with the territory.
You know, it's Daylon and it's Jack Roach and it's Duke Ward, and you know, those are our guys that we look to make plays. Derek Wilson, you know, Derek Wilson played hard last night. He's a kid that we expect a lot of, and you know, their attitudes are good. They're great kids. I coach great kids, and you're right. You know, Cam is our leader. You know, and he's really embraced that role this year. You know, he's really had to. I've called on him. I've said, look, big time players win games at the end of games, and he's done that this year. So losing him put some responsibility on some other people, but. You know, he was down there cheering his teammates on, talking to them, and you know, he is looking forward to getting back. And you know, I just love these kids. I have a great bunch of kids. You know, Shane Farrow, you know, he can be a bit of a wing nut sometimes, but you know, he's out there, you know, in a game that's turning into a blowout, and he's playing hard, and he's not mouthing. And Zy Rollins, same thing, is the kind of kid that can be kind of emotional sometimes, and. He's checking his emotions and continuing to play hard. And, you know, I'm proud of what these kids have done. I wish the record was better, but it is what it is. And we're just going to keep playing and playing until we get to the end.
Yeah, I think Shane was able to hide a couple of times on a couple of those runs. He would just get behind linemen, and he absorbed some contact a couple of times and kept going. And on one run, he was one tackle away from breaking it for a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, their edges, like I said, they're not super athletic or super fast. So if people can get to their edges, they can do something. Shane showed them that. I mean, Shane. Well, we ran a stretch one time, and they blitzed the guy playing in the hole, and Shane just ran around him.
Yeah.
You know, and we didn't even block him. And that, you know, that's where, you know, they got good football players, but that is definitely a weakness of their defense, is that their speed in their front where. It's the opposite. Our defense is really fast up front. We're not big, but we've got some good speed. And I think if people can get to their edges and get in the secondary, it's going to be a problem for them down the road.
We are at McDonald's this morning on Saturday Morning Quarterback. We've got Tiger coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us this morning. We need to get to a timeout, but we'll come back and have more with the coaches after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Hello, this is Terry Martin with H&R Agri-Fowl. When getting the job done right is job one, you need equipment that's built to deliver. That's why H&R Agri-Fowl in Hopkinsville, Kentucky is proud to announce that we now carry Kubota hay tools, M7 tractors, and construction equipment. From balers to the Pyfer M7 series and even the world's number one selling compact excavator, Kubota has the tools to tackle every job with strength, comfort, and reliability. Come and see us today at H&R Agri-Fowl, your new Kubota hay tools, M7, and construction equipment dealer right here in Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
When facing a challenging time, the comfort of familiar faces makes all the difference. At Penny Royal Hospice, they understand that nothing replaces the warmth and care of hometown neighbors and friends. With Penny Royal Hospice, you're choosing more than just quality care. You're choosing a compassionate team that's part of your community. So when it comes to hospice care, you have a choice. Choose comfort, choose community, choose Penny Royal Hospice.
Start your Sunday mornings with singing. It's the Sunday Singing starting at 6 on 1580, 103.3 online at WPKYonline.com and your free app. Hello, I'm Ken Cummins.
I am Eddie Boone.
We're your hosts along with these rotating churches: Eighty Creek Baptist, Cedar Bluff Baptist, Lebanon Baptist, Pleasant Hill Baptist, and on the fifth Sunday, the Caldwell Lyon Baptist Association. It's the Sunday Singing every Sunday starting at 6 in the morning and repeated at noon on 1580, 103.3 WPKY.
Fortner Gas Company has been serving the propane needs of Western Kentucky for 70 years. You'll find offices in Princeton and Cadiz. They're your local and family-owned propane supplier. Browse their website to discover the many services and products available. You can shop in person or online, and they can answer any and all questions in person or on the phone. If they're already your propane supplier, they say thank you. If they're not, they would love to be. Fortner Gas Company, a family tradition of service since 1951.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
We are at McDonald's in Princeton this morning for Saturday Morning Quarterback. The Tigers falling last night at Murray. A trip to Hancock County coming up next week in the first round of the Class 2A playoffs. We've got Tiger coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us this morning. And Coach McClung, we saw some positives late in the game out of the offense. And I know the game was decided at that point, but still we put up 16 points in the final 4 minutes. And it just it felt like the kids kind of got a boost and had a little more pep in their step after we did that. It didn't matter for this game, but that might matter going forward for next week.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like the kids' attitude was good. And, I thought that some of the things that they did, I didn't. Some of the things that they did outside of the game of football, I really didn't like, I chewed some people out and how they were handling things over there. I thought they were kind of rude to us at times, and I dealt with that. And then I went in and told the kids – I just wanted them to keep playing, and they did. They came out and kept playing, and, we moved the ball. I don't know what our total yards were, but we had some yards against them. And
256.
So that's, that's the number two team in 3A. We had 250 yards against, and, they played their starters a bunch in the second half. I know they played them all the way through the third quarter, and I think all the way until about 7 minutes left to go. They put their starters back in to try because they were mad that we scored one touchdown. Yeah. So, and that was really sweet to go ahead and still score on their first defense. So, I enjoyed that. And, I just wanted the kids to relax and go play loose down there. And I feel like they did. And they didn't let the score, how that was going bother them very much. And, it's not a real meaningful football game because the district play is decided. So, I don't think we have any injuries that we incurred during the game, so that's good that we're healthy and we're going to get some guys back next week, and hopefully we'll be at full strength.
You guys got the 50-yard touchdown pass to Derek Wilson to get on the scoreboard. Then Sutton Ritchie's kick left them pinned back. Yeah. And then Everett Ray busts through and tackles the quarterback in the end zone for the safety.
Yeah. Everett Ray's going to be a really good football player. I don't know, and you guys watch young football players, but he's recovered two or three onside kicks. He's had a kickoff return. He is going to be really good. He's just a freshman, plays inside outside linebacker, plays some running backs. He is going to be a really impactful football player, and he's got an older brother that's going to help us as well. So,
and then on the kick, they had a free kick. They kicked it to us. Shane Farrow gets the big return. One of Murray's guys decides to hit him 2 yards out of bounds and talk trash. So that's another 15 yards. We get down to the 19. Starters come back in for Murray, but Dalen finds the end zone on the next play anyway.
One thing about Murray, as good a team as they are, they're not very good on their special teams. And we really exposed it last year. We converted two fake punts and recovered two onside kicks against them. And we had a chance to convert a fake punt again this year. And we threw the pass and the ball popped out and almost made a great catch. And then we converted an onside kick and we had a good punt that pinned them deep. And, I feel like we probably had a little bit of the edge of special teams this year. So, that could bite Murray as they get in the playoffs. Special teams really come into play, and I feel like, as good as they are on offense and they're solid on defense, that special teams is definitely an area that we've probably exposed them that could hurt them in the playoffs.
After the 19-yard touchdown run by Dalen, We got within 56-16 there. You guys recover an onside kick with 30 seconds to go. But with the running clock, we really didn't have a chance to run a play, you know, unless you wanted to call a timeout or something in that situation and tuck it a couple of times.
Well, I would have, but by the time I realized how much I thought they stopped the clock after scoring plays. I think they had previously.
It just depends. You know, referees let it go sometimes, and they stop it sometimes.
Then they just decide, well, since we started scoring, I think they decided to keep it running, because when I looked up to think about taking my timeouts, and actually, Coach Burgett was wanting me to take timeouts on the last drive to try to score, and then they took the timeout.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to take a timeout, and I was just going to let the clock run out, and then they took the timeout, and then we scored, and then they, you know, got mad about it. So by the time I realized that I could would take some time because they were letting the clock run, it was like 5 seconds left. So
yeah,
I couldn't get it in.
You guys had a little different look offensively at times last night. What was the thought behind that?
Well, we thought we needed to go simpler and, you know, pick up the tempo a little bit and change the tempo some. We huddled some, and sometimes we went no huddle. So we tried to do some simple things in our tempo. We put some trick formations in. I thought they looked pretty good. I didn't think we executed them as good as we could, but it gave Murray problems and made Murray take a timeout. I think we probably gave some people some good things to look at on film on because, you know, they didn't line up. They didn't know how to line up to it. And, you know, there were some times where we missed. We had some advantages in numbers and we didn't get it to the right guy.
Yeah.
But when you look at that on film, that's something that another team could use against them.
Yeah, Jeff, when you look out there on the offense and we've got a number 70 or a 76 or somebody lined up wide, it makes it look a little strange when you take a look at it.
The funny thing is in practice he wanted to stand like a wide receiver, and then they had it. Coach McClung had to fix him and get him in an offensive line stand. So, yeah, that is it's you know, you throw those wrinkles in there, especially in a big game like that, to see if you can get something on them and make them adjust. And you know, I think there's you know, everybody's got those trick plays and their kind of gadgets and fun. And you know, if you throw them at the right time, they can hit big for you and change the momentum in a game. Or you know, that's also something that, you know, Hancock County's going to have to prepare for too. They're going to see it on film, and they're going to have to prepare for a couple trick plays. So they'll spend some time doing that this week as well.
From a rule standpoint, though, I mean, you can put those guys out there, but if they got a lineman number, they can't go down the field.
Yeah, they just got to stay within that yard of the line of scrimmage, and you know, sometimes block air, or you can, you know, throw a screen behind them so you can use them that way. Or sometimes they're a decoy. But if you got two over three right there, you might get something. So you never know.
Just a little different look, and like you guys said, give Hancock County something to prepare for next week.
That's right, and then it's fun for the kids. I think the kids like to do different things, and when they see, you know, when that tackle gets to go out and be, you know, 20 yards detached from that guard, I think he feels like he's out there where his mom can see him really good, so that's always good too.
Yeah. Well, Coach McClung, how much have you guys looked at Hancock County at this point?
We've been watching a bunch.
Yeah, we
have about 6 or 7 films on them, so, you know, I told somebody at the end of the game, they're kind of like the Caldwell County of the second district.
Yeah.
You know, they're a rural county school. They got a little bit of size. They got a few athletes. They have a pretty solid football tradition, and they're the second district's version of us. I really feel like, and you know, I feel like we're really close and talent wise, and you know, their record, they got one game on us. I think they're 7-3, and we're 6-4. So I will say this, you know, Coach Eubanks is a really good guy. I talked to him a few times. I would guess that he is not happy that it's us that we're playing. You know, I think as a two seed, we've scrimmaged him for about 4 or 5 years, six years in a row, and we didn't scrimmage this year because we thought this might be a possibility. But, you know, he has a lot of respect for us, and I have a lot of respect for them, and we've created film, and I guarantee you he wishes he would have had an easier first round opponent.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're gonna go up there and try to win a game. You know, and we can win the game. And you know, it's just kids got to maintain the good attitude that they've had all this week. And our seniors deserve to play as many games as we can, and that's what we're gonna try to do.
It feels like Hancock County has the same team every year. You know, they have big guys up front, a quarterback that can run a little bit. They're not going to be flashy. They're not going to throw the ball. They're not going to spread you out a whole lot, I don't think. But they will take a shot down the field every now and then. But it just seems like if you play Hancock County, it's the same routine for them every year.
And that's about what they are. I mean, they will spread you out. They run kind of some wing tee run game. They'll spread you out and throw it some. But they have some solid athletes, but they don't have a ton of speed. They do have a quarterback that can run. They're not gonna blitz you a lot. They actually play a similar defense to what we played a couple years ago, or when I was the defensive coordinator. They play that kind of defense, so they play a lot of cover three. They play very little man coverage, and they're just a solid. You know, they're just a good little football program, and they're solid. Their kids play hard. The coaches do a good job, and it's a cool place to play. You know, I know it's a long trip. People hate to make, but it's a nice stadium. It's a really nice stadium. It's turf. They're not punks. You know, they're gonna treat you with respect when you come to their place, and you know, we're gonna have a good time.
We've actually had some pretty good matchups with Hancock County through the years in football, and typically we've come out on top in those.
Yeah, we've had some good games. We've had some good playoff games. So we've had some playoff games where a lot of points have been in multiple playoff games. I've been a part of some of them. I remember one year we played them, and they had three kids rush for over 100 yards each, and we still won.
Yeah.
Which that's weird. That's for that to happen. So there are even some historic scoring games before I came, and I think in 98 they had one with a bunch of points. Yeah. So maybe we'll have another really entertaining game. Fans come up there and watch a wild football game and see what happens.
Yeah, Jeff, they came here in 98 and brought just a fantastic crowd with them. Of course, we had a big crowd, that 98 team. Everybody kind of got behind that thing. But it was a really, really good Hancock County team, and we beat them that night 60-30.
Well, that just goes to show you how good Caldwell was then too. Had athletes all over the place, and you know sometimes those high scoring games are fun to watch. And you know I don't care as long as we win. You know, if we win 3-0 or you know 63-62, we'll take it. But you know that's fun, and I don't know if Hancock County has that caliber of team this time. I don't know if the future Mr. Football is running things for them, but they're going to be big, tough kids, and they're going to come out here and be physical. We know that from the scrimmages that they're kind of, you know, a rural community. They got some probably big country boys that are going to come down here and get after you, and you know they're going to hit you a little bit. And you know you go to college and you know guys that are from there, and that's just the type of people that they are. And you know we kind of embrace that because we kind of feel like that's how we are sometimes too. So it'll be a good physical football game, and I think it'll be fun to watch. I hope our fans will go make the drive up there and buy a ticket and stop in Owensboro and get something good to eat and make a day of it and come support us on a Friday night.
That was one of those Travis Atwell teams that came here. I remember they led us 7-0 and 14-7 early, and you were wondering at that point, hey, can we stop these guys? We finally did figure a little something out to slow them down just a little bit. And a couple other things I remember, one of the Evansville stations came down and had their helicopter, and they left at halftime, but they were still shooting like the first plays of the second half. Gerald Fuqua broke a long touchdown run, and they had video of it from the helicopter. So you got to see, this was the days before the drones, you know, It was cool to see that video. And I also remember one of our students had this humongous fly swatter with a flattened hornet on it on the sideline that he was waving during the game. So
that's pretty unique. Somebody had some time on their hands to make a giant fly swatter.
Interesting that I can remember things from 27 years ago, but not what I had for lunch yesterday.
Yeah, you know, some things stick out in your memory, Todd. So the emotion of the game made all those things more vivid.
That was a fun run, you know.
Caldwell
County with a loss last night at Murray, but playoff time coming up next week. The Tigers are headed to Hancock County, and Jeff, I know we'd rather be playing at home next week, but sometimes it's kind of fun to be that road warrior team where you just kind of have that mentality that, hey, it's us against everybody, and let's go play.
Yeah, I like that too. I like the kind of you got to get together and get on the bus, and you got to change your routine, and you got to go somewhere else. And you know, I kind of like that too. Of course, we would want to play at home. We you know, that was our goal, but we fell a little bit short there. But we also can, you know, our season could be over. I mean, there's some positives in being in the playoffs, and there's a couple teams in our district that are turning their stuff in on Monday, and they don't get to play football anymore, and our kids get to keep playing. And you know, after Friday night, you cut the field in half, and you just keep doing that until you find out who wins. But hopefully, you know, we can be on that positive half Friday night. And our, like Coach said, we have 10, 11, 12 seniors that, you know, deserve to keep playing. We want to keep the thing going for them. And, you know, and I hope our kids feel like they have a little something to prove that, you know, we're still a good football team. We've won 6 football games, and we're going to try to win 7.
We're talking this morning with Tiger coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley. We are at McDonald's, as we have been every Saturday morning throughout the football season. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback, and we'll be back with more after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Fredonia Valley Bank, thriving within our community since 1894. Its roots run as deep as the valley itself. Much has evolved since 1894, but Fredonia Valley Bank's dedication to being your hometown financial institution remains unwavering. In this era of financial unpredictability, you can rely on Fredonia Valley Bank's impressive years of exceptional service. Place your trust in them as they are prepared to care for your needs. Fredonia Valley Bank. Local people, local decisions, and local commitment. Your true hometown bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
School is in session, which means sniffles and sore throats are too. But Princeton Drug makes it simple. Feeling sick? Just pull up to our drive-thru and get tested for flu, COVID, or strep. No appointment needed. It's only $40 for testing. And if you need medication, our pharmacists can prescribe it right there in the drive-thru. You'll leave with your results, a prescription, and a school or work note all in about 20 minutes without leaving your car. Stay ahead of sick days. Stop by Princeton Drug's drive-thru and get back to what matters.
Powering your lives and lighting up your nights. Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout out goes to our Tigers as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
Ever have one of those medical questions you're too embarrassed to ask?
I got a tick bite in the worst place possible. I heard if you put Vaseline on it, it'll just back itself out. Is that true?
Community Medical Clinic will join Coffee Talk to spill the beans.
Is hair of the dog really good for a hangover?
Text your questions at 270-963-9038.
How many ibuprofen is too many ibuprofen?
Listen, Middle Mondays at 8:15. You might just hear your answer.
Is that normal?
I mean, honestly.
Is that true?
Spill the beans only on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
We are at McDonald's this morning on Saturday Morning Quarterback. The Tigers falling at Murray last night, but we're looking ahead to the playoffs now. The Class 2A playoffs next week. We'll have Caldwell County going to Hancock County. The Hornets are 7-3 after going to Bardstown and picking up a 29-7 win over Bethlehem last night. So Coach Aaron McClung, Coach Jeff Riley with us this morning. And Coach McClung, Hancock County, you mentioned they're kind of like, they're the Caldwell County of the 2nd District. Well, they've kind of got a similar record. They're 7-3. We're 6-4.
Yeah, we have some common opponents, too. They played Apollo. Apollo beat them 42-14. They may have played Union County, too. I think Union County beat them 21-14. So we have some common opponents. And we're familiar with each other from the scrimmages. So, ought to be a good game.
Interesting trip, though. How do you kind of prepare this week? Do you do anything different to get ready for a trip like that?
Nah, we just got to leave earlier.
Yeah.
We'll get on the bus at 3:30, and everything else will stay normal. Always this time of the year, you know, you're not wanting to beat people up in practice. You know, we'll probably just practice and chill. So, but we'll keep everything normal and as normal as we can. We'll spend a lot more time in team. I guess we'd lose an hour of daylight this week.
Yeah.
We'll probably go right out and practice after school and watch film after practice. So that'll be an adjustment that's different. So we'll probably only have about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes of daylight. So, but, you know, we played 10 games. We played a whole season. You know, we're an experienced football team now. Everybody is. So, kids ought to be more mature and able to watch film and go out and execute what we've been doing, because we've been doing it quite a while now. So hopefully we'll put together the best game plan we can and go score a bunch of points.
Yeah, starting tomorrow, it starts getting dark like at 4:45 in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I vote for just staying on daylight. Just stay on daylight time.
I don't even care which one they pick. Let's just stay on it.
I like the fast time better. I like the light at the end of the day. But,
yeah, amen.
Yeah. But, you know, the winner of Caldwell County and Hancock County is going to go to Mayfield the next week. Fort Knox, one of the teams that pulled out of the playoffs. I think so far there's six or seven of those. But Mayfield is off, and we'll await the winner of Caldwell and Hancock.
You know, I wouldn't want to be off if I was in the playoffs. I wouldn't want to have an off week. I think that's dangerous this late in the year to not play for 2 weeks. So, you know, I'm not worried about 2 weeks. We have Hancock County Friday, so that's what we're going to focus on. If we get to go to Mayfield, great. We get to go play another football game.
Checking some scores from last night. Crittenden County beat Hopkins County Central 56-21. Greenwood over Union County 45-23. Greenwood's had a pretty good season, and that's a team we saw very first time out in the scrimmage this year.
Yeah, Greenwood is solid, and they'll have a home playoff game. So that'll be an interesting matchup, too. So
Callaway County won a shootout with Marshall County last night 45-40. Hopkinsville with a win over W.E.B. Du Bois 37-13. Mayfield over Central 43-13. Owensboro had a big win last night. Owensboro routing Henderson County 65-3.
Yeah, I don't think Henderson is very good this year. I think they're way down. I haven't looked at their schedule or followed them, but they've been beaten a lot this year.
Owensboro Catholic over Elizabethtown 56-6. So E-Town's another team that must be in a down cycle.
Yeah, it seems like some teams are, as soon as we don't play them, they fall off. And then we start playing them and they get good again. Because we never played any bad E-Town teams.
No, they were always pretty loaded. Paducah Tillman over Christian County 54-7. No surprise in the score, but we found out this morning that Christian County has pulled out of the playoffs now. So that was the last football game ever for the Christian County Colonels.
No more Colonels.
Yeah, no more Colonels. The Christian County Tigers starting next year. That doesn't make any sense. That's the worst nickname ever for a Christian County school. You know they could have gone old school and gone like the Green Dragons or something like South Christian back in the day. All those good things.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
they couldn't let us be the only Tigers. I know. In the second region.
Well, that's what I was going to get to. That I was looking forward to Caldwell County being the only Tigers in the second region. Yeah, we're not going to get that now. Webster County over Todd County Central, 31-12, and a couple of Thursday scores: Fort Campbell over Trigg County, 47-32, and Madisonville went on the road to beat Warren Central, 52-12. Fort Campbell gets to go to Owensboro Catholic in the playoffs.
Yeah, but you know I'm happy for the Fort Campbell guys. You know they're nice guys. You know they held a bunch of kids out last week versus Mayfield, and they played them against Trigg. So you know they got some good athletes. I'm not surprised that they were able to beat Trigg. So I'm happy for them that those kids get to go play another football game.
Madisonville played three Thursday games this season.
Did they really?
Yeah, three of them. They might have won all three, so maybe they should keep doing it.
Yeah.
So that's not something I'm advocating. It's just that it worked for them this year, though.
I bet that didn't work for their game.
Yeah. I like the Friday games myself, but sometimes you have to do what you have to do, and apparently that worked out good for Madisonville North Hopkins to pick up the win over Warren Central. But, you know, looking at the playoffs now, you've got Fort Campbell going to go to Owensboro Catholic, and we are going to go to Hancock County. Crittenden County gets to host McLean County, and like I said, Mayfield is going to be off because there were several teams that, you know, I hate that teams pull out of the playoffs. I know there are some mismatches, fours and ones, and nobody wants to drive forever just to get beat. But at the same time, if you've played your season and you've earned a playoff spot, I kind of wish those guys would get to go and play those games and make that trip. And if you lose, so what? You know, make a trip out of it.
Yeah, I don't. If I remember how much I loved playing high school football. I didn't always love practice, but I loved playing in games. And I would never want to not play a game that you've earned, you know. And I know they may have terrible seasons, but in the current system that they have, they've earned another football game. I mean, if you're a senior, that's the last game you'll ever get to play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's I don't like that. You know, if that continues to happen, they probably need to do something to adjust the playoff system to I don't know, four classes or less teams. But that's that's not good for, and it's not good for the good teams to have bye weeks this late in the year. You know, you get 2 weeks off this late in the year. I just don't think that's good. I think people need to be playing football, and it's not good for the game.
Well, that was my next question. You know, what can we do to maybe clean some of that up? Because we've seen some first-round matchups in the playoffs where people have driven all over the state. They've had to make a 4 or 5 hour trip for a first-round playoff game, and apparently schools are just deciding that it's not worth the 4 or 5 hour drive to get beat 63-0 and get on the bus and head back home.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Nobody's ever going to be happy with any solution they have for the playoffs, but I would like to see the state look at some kind of multiplier like Indiana has, because you see the same teams have some of the same advantages every year, and they're the same teams show up, and it's silly to think that they don't have some advantages that other schools don't. You know, when you have an independent school district in a very large county, or a private school, and then you have other teams in that district that are a rural county school with 12,000 people in their county, if you don't think there's some advantages in that, you're crazy. So, I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but it's definitely neat. Something could make it better.
Yeah, Jeff, some people have suggested maybe going to just three teams making the playoffs and the number one seed getting a bye. I know the number four seeds struggle sometimes, but I thought the original goal of expanding the playoffs was so that more teams would have the opportunity to get to play a playoff game.
Yeah, I think I read there's what did you say, 6, 8 something like,
yeah,
that teams have opted out of the playoffs, and you know it is unfortunate. I think sometimes you just got to let people make their own decisions for what's best for their program. So I'm sure in Fort Knox's case, you know, they've dealt with the shutdown and they have struggled. Probably they probably have low numbers, and you know they probably look at it and said it's probably just best for our kids, you know, not to go make that trip. And there's a fine involved. You know, you're going to have to pay. They're going to have to send Mayfield a little money or whatever. And they just decided that it was better for them. You know, whereas I think most teams want to go compete. And you know, I've always been an advocate of more football. I think if you get a chance to play, it's good. If we think football's good, and it's worth having a team, then you know, you get a chance to play more football. You get to go play more football. Every other sport, just about. I can't think of one, and everybody makes the playoffs. I mean, every basketball team, every baseball team makes playoffs. So, all soccer teams make the playoffs. So, in football, I mean, football's a different animal because of the physicality of the game or whatever, and everybody has an option to kind of make that choice. But, you know, I don't know. I just like more football. I think kids getting to play the game. If we believe the game's important, we believe it's worth doing, then, you know, it's worth trying to play more games. So, you know, it does result in some watered down scores, and it does result sometimes in you having to go make the trip. But, you know, I got beat in the first round of playoffs as a senior, and if someone told me I'd had to give that trip up, that would have been heartbreak. I mean, I can't imagine doing that. So, you know, I kind of like the system. Now, the only thing I'd be really in favor of is if they did something where they classified all sports, and everybody was 1 through 4A, and you just played, you know, all your sports in the same district or whatever. But I don't know. There's a bunch of speculation to that. Multipliers are good, but when you get those and things, I think there'll be a whole. I mean, you just can't find anything that's perfect. So, giving schools an individual choice is, I think, a positive thing, and you know, everybody's got to make that own decision. And unfortunately, Christian County and Fort Knox and a couple others, I don't think there's anybody else really locally that made that choice that they felt
Ballard
like
Ballard Memorial.
Ballard, that's right. Yeah, Ballard. They just felt like it was in their best interest to pass that playoff game up, and you know, that's their call for their program. But I'm glad we're getting to go play.
Most of those were 4 seeds, but there was 1 3-seed that pulled out.
Oh, really? Which one was that? Do you know?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but not this end of the state, but it was a 3-seed.
Yeah.
And you know, if we were hosting a home playoff game and the other team pulled out, I don't think we'd be very happy about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I would not be happy at all. I would be furious, because it not only costs my team a game, costs a gate, it costs the opportunity for your kids to get better for the next playoff game. That would have been terrible.
Well, and again, nobody wants to miss a game, and I wouldn't want to cancel the game just because I thought we might get beat bad, but I could see some legitimate reasons where if you're down to 15 or 16 kids, maybe it is difficult to go play an extra game.
Well, you're down to your JV kid. I mean, I can understand that. If you're down to some JV kids and you're not physically ready to go play, if you're Fort Knox and you see Mayfield on film and you say, well, you know, we've got 15 kids and, you know, they're all young and it's an unsafe environment. And I think obviously you always make a decision of safety for your kids. So I can see that. And I can understand Christian County's point of view to where they've had a tough year and, you know, they've had a coaching change and, you know, it's just been a tough thing. And if they feel like it's in their best interest to kind of put it to bed that way, and it's an unfortunate thing for those kids, but if that's what they think is best, it's their call. But yeah, obviously you want to play football. I think you want to play football as often as you can until somebody tells you can't play anymore.
Yeah, I'm all about opportunity. And, Coach, you know, last night we had an opportunity to end Murray's undefeated season. We didn't get it done, but we went down there and took our shot.
Yeah, we went down there and played as hard as we could. And, you know, and our kids were not afraid to go play Murray. And, you know, people will, in the first round of the playoffs, they'll complain about blowouts. They'll go, look at all these blowouts. But there's blowouts all across the state every week. I mean, lots of blowouts. And I think the bigger problem is the competitive balance and what some schools have. And that's why I kind of like what Indiana does with a multiplier, to where if you have years and years and years of success, you get moved up a class.
Yeah.
And then if you have years and years and years where you struggle, you get moved down a class. And what I think that would do is it would put schools that have similar student bodies and similar resources, it would put them in the lower classes and put all the best teams in the higher classes, where, like, right now you have like four or five great teams and programs in each class, and they just dominate everybody else. Where if you had a multiplier, you put teams together that are similar in what kind of resources and football players they have. And you know, I think that's a solution that Kentucky needs to look at as well.
Well, the three seed that pulled out was Berea. So I remember one year, though, and it's been a while now because one of the schools was Lone Oak, but I do remember a year where all four teams in the first district went to the second district and won. Lone Oak actually went to Owensboro Catholic that year and picked up a win. So I think it was Caldwell, Fort Campbell, and Mayfield, and Lone Oak. I think those were the four teams in the district. And, you know, we swept that year, but it is kind of rare to see a four seed go and compete with a one seed.
There's been multiple years in 6A where this end of the state 6A teams got paired with Louisville's 6A teams, and the Louisville teams came down and swept all four of them. And it's because they play a different brand of football in Louisville. And the football players up there are a lot different than the football players down here. So, you know, it matters where you are. It matters how much your community values football. It matters how many what kind of access you have to size and skill kids. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go in. That's why it's so unique when you take a school like Caldwell County to be able to win a state championship in 98, because – you know, you don't see very many state champs. I mean, I've been going to state championships for decades. You don't see very many schools at the state championship, winning the state championship, that are something county.
Yeah.
You know? You can say Boyle County, but Boyle County is right up there next to Lexington, and they have all kinds of resources. But
like, there's a pretty good team in Boyle County, Danville.
Yeah. and they're not good. They're conveniently not good when Boyle County is good. So.
Well, and you were talking earlier about independent schools, and, you know, Murray falls into that category. They're in Callaway County, which is a large county. Mayfield's in Graves County, which is a large county, you know, larger than Caldwell. And at Caldwell County, there's not a bigger, you know, source of athletes. It's just what's here, you know. That's what we've got.
I mean, Mayfield is in our class, but there's 12,000 people that live in Caldwell County, or 13,000, whatever it is, the whole county.
Yeah.
There's 50,000 people that live in Graves County.
Yeah.
So you can't tell me that those independent school districts within those large counties don't have some kind of advantage. Because, I mean, Corbin, Pikeville, Middlesboro, Danville, all those. I mean, why are they always?
Yeah.
Beachwood.
Yeah. Yeah. Man.
Belfry.
Yeah.
Well, it's just you have a larger pool of talent.
Owensboro.
Yeah. Caldwell County with a loss last night down at Murray in the regular season finale. Tigers 6-4, headed to Hancock County next week for the first round of the playoffs. We're talking with coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley this morning. Back with more after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Getting the kids to school makes mornings a little busier for everyone. Keep your kids safe with a reliable ride from U-Ride. Every vehicle is thoroughly checked for safety because they know your family comes first. From first cars for teens to dependable family SUVs, U-Ride has a range to fit every budget. Enjoy peace of mind knowing they're nearby and ready to help. U-Ride is committed to you after the sale. Visit them on Marion Road in Princeton and drive with confidence this school year.
Imagine owning your own slice of Kentucky paradise. Ranch and Farm Auctions, in cooperation with Whitetail Properties, present 580 acres in Crittenden County. Rich farmland, rolling timber, a cozy cabin, a sparkling lake, and top-notch hunting ground all in one place. Bidding happens on November 5th at 3 o'clock with 7 diverse tracks available. Bid in person at Foss Hall in Marion or at ranchandfarmauctions.com. Invest in the outdoors. Your future starts with Whitetail Properties.
Did you know every time you shop in our big deal store, you're not just grabbing a great bargain? You're supporting local businesses right here in our community? At WPKY, the Big Deals Program allows local businesses to trade gift certificates for advertising, helping them grow as they reach more customers. And don't we all want our business community to grow? Help our local business community thrive and save money, too. Shop Big Deals at WPKYonline.com and make a difference. Visit WPKYonline.com and click on Big Deals today.
It's the ultimate in high school sports coverage. YourSportsEdge.com brings you award-winning coverage of all the thrilling action right at your fingertips and in the palm of your hand with our really cool app. Heart-stopping touchdowns and buzzer-beating shots, we've got it all. Don't miss a single moment at YourSportsEdge.com and be a part of the winning team.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
We are at McDonald's in Princeton this morning on Saturday Morning Quarterback. Tiger coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us, and we're trying to solve the playoff situation in the state of Kentucky. I'm not sure there is a simple situation. A lot of coaches, though, will point to the six-class system that kind of got us off balance, where the haves have more and the have-nots don't have as much. But, coach, from a Caldwell County standpoint, I'm just glad we've got another game and a chance to, like I said, go and prove ourselves. I think we will be the underdog this week. Hancock County is number 11 in the Class 2A RPI. Caldwell County is 16th, so I think Hancock County is going to be the favorite. But I think overall it's probably a fairly even matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. I think, we're a little different styles. I think we had a little more speed. They got more size. We're coming. We lost a couple games in a row, and they won some games here at the end of the season. So we need to play better, and you never know what can happen in playoffs.
Yeah, like I say, I always talk about opportunity. Well, here's an opportunity.
Weather becomes a major factor, and how bad motivation is a major factor, because I've seen a lot of teams. Kids are hungry to keep playing, and see teams that aren't as motivated and get beat just because they're just they're not in the right frame of mind.
Well, it's another Saturday. That means a big day of college football. Camden McGregor is with us again. Camden, what's the big games on tap today?
Well, a couple big games. Vanderbilt is on the road to Texas, so that'll be a pretty good matchup in the SEC. Georgia and Florida plays today as well. Ohio State plays against Penn State.
Yeah.
A couple months ago, would have been a big game. Now, not so much.
Upset alert right there. Upset alert.
But we got that. South Carolina plays Ole Miss. Tennessee and Oklahoma play against each other, so that'd be a pretty good matchup. Cincinnati versus Utah. Kentucky goes on the road to Auburn. Last time Kentucky beat Auburn was in 2009.
I had somebody tell me that Kentucky is going to win two SEC games the rest of the season. Auburn and who else they play? Florida?
Florida and Vandy.
They play Florida and Vandy?
Yeah.
Somebody told me that Kentucky will beat Auburn and Florida.
Wow.
It could happen, but I don't see it happening.
I think there's a better chance Kentucky beats Vandy I still have a hard time putting Vandy and big game in the same sentence.
Well, the thing is with Kentucky is it's 11 o'clock game at Vandy. Nobody's really want to go to that game. Yeah. So, I mean, I could see Kentucky sneaking up, but highly doubt it.
I think Kentucky gets an SEC win this year. They always sneak up on somebody. I think they'll get one.
Yeah, maybe, hopefully. WKU plays against New Mexico State. So that'll be a good matchup.
I'm just glad it's not on a Tuesday.
I'm just glad it's not on a Tuesday or a Thursday. And then Southern Illinois plays against Murray State. So,
Hey, I've heard that Murray State may get a win this week. I have insider knowledge that Murray State thinks this is a game that they can win.
Well, Southern Illinois is 5-3 this year.
You know that Murray State has the longest losing streak of all Division I football teams.
Yeah, because they're 0-8 now. So
the Missouri Valley Football Conference is really tough.
It has not been good to the Racers.
No. And if you play somebody that has Dakota in their name, it's even tougher.
Yeah.
Then also the World Series, Game 7 tonight. So Dodgers versus Blue Jays, so pretty good matchup between those two teams.
I had Dodgers in 5, so that's still not going to happen, is it?
I can't believe I'm going to have to cheer for a Canadian team.
Yeah, I'm going to have to be for the Blue Jays, too, I'm afraid.
I'm a Dodger.
Yeah,
I got to be for the Dodgers.
How many Canadians are on that Canadian team?
I don't know, but Don Mattingly's the manager, and I loved him.
Yeah, Don Mattingly's, yeah.
Camden, how was Big Blue Madness last week?
Big Blue Madness was fun. I really enjoyed it. I mean, a lot of good insight. Not really insight in Big Blue Madness, but it's kind of like a kickoff to college basketball. And a lot of fans were excited about this team, ready to see what's going to happen with this team. It's a $22 million roster.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you never know how good this team's going to be, but nevertheless, it was pretty fun. You got to see John Wall there. First time he's been back in Rupp Arena for a while. So, I mean, it's just the kickoff to college basketball. They start
Anything
Tuesday.
Less than a national championship is a complete failure.
I'd say Final Four. Final
about,
Four. Got to be a
much,
Final Four.
How much is Georgetown's roster?
I don't know. But I will say, they have the most Power Four transfers at Georgetown, like from St. John's, from UConn, from Baylor. I mean, all these guys. So.
I just hope Kentucky fans are going to try to fire this Mark after the Georgetown loss.
I will say.
No, he's got a little more grace there.
Okay, right,
I will say, the last time we did get beat in a scrimmage, we went undefeated until the Final Four. So, I mean, scrimmage is a scrimmage.
The omen is there. That's right. Well, it's just a scrimmage. Yep. That one doesn't count.
So, somehow it stinks every time Kentucky plays Georgetown, so we just need to quit playing them.
Yeah, I agree. And Georgetown's a really solid team. They got a really solid point guard and really good players, and we just got humbled. So
everybody's pretty good anymore, though, because colleges aren't recruiting high school kids anymore. They're recruiting other colleges.
Yeah,
so everybody's going to be pretty good.
Oh, one of our own basketball guys got a little draft action. Derek
got
picked up. Wasn't this last week?
Yeah. Last weekend, got drafted by the G League.
That's
and
right.
Has already been out in, I guess it's Santa Cruz.
Yep, Santa Cruz Warriors.
Yeah, so look good in the blue and gold.
That's right. Yeah, good for him, man. That's great. That's great to see those guys go up. Just keep playing until you can't play no more.
Absolutely, until they drag you off the court or off the field. Well, you guys have a big trip to Hancock County. Again, Coach McClung, kind of give us a scouting report on the Hornets and what we have to do to go up there and come back with a W.
Well, I mean, they're going to be a run-first team, but they can throw the ball as well. You know, they're pretty balanced offensively, and defensively, they're going to be a bend but don't break kind of defense. They're going to run like a 50 defense like we used to run with a lot of cover three. And you know, we're just going to have to execute to beat them. They're going to be solid fundamentally. We need to not turn the ball over. I think we got an opportunity to go get a win.
Road trips are usually fun, so Tiger fans need to get in the vehicle and head up to, is it Hawesville? Is that where
Hawesville, that's right. Speaking of road trips, if you got a weekend free, the Young Tigers are playing over at Crittenden County in the Jamboree today. I think the
I don't know the exact times. I know the third and fourth grade play this afternoon, and the fifth and sixth grade play sometime around the same time, and then the championship games are tomorrow over at Crittenden County. So, I mean, if you ain't got anything else to do, go watch those guys play a little football, too. It's kind of fun to watch those little guys get after it.
I think the two Caldwell teams play at 5 and 6:30 today, okay. So I believe they're back-to-back.
Yeah, I think they got to play somebody. Whoever they play has got to play their second game of the day today, so hopefully they'll be well-rested after Halloween weekend and go over there and play some football.
Both Caldwell teams are the number 2 seed, so hopefully they'll both be in the championships on Sunday.
Yeah, no pressure.
I guess you gotta win today. Playoff time for everybody. Appreciate you guys coming in this morning and being on the show.
No problem.
Thanks, man.
Tiger coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley. Also, Camden McGregor here on controls from McDonald's in Princeton this morning on Saturday Morning Quarterback. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us this morning from McDonald's here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.